Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that we continue to grow in your grace and knowledge. I pray that we continue to do a better job of what we've been doing. And Lord, I pray that you continue to add people to your kingdom. I pray that you continue to add workers. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was a young man, a young preacher, and the Vietnam War was going on. And I was in the Navy, and I was away from home. My friends, three had been killed. I was angry. Every time I went out of the Navy base, there were protesters yelling at me, murderer, murderer, because I was stationed just south of Washington, D.C. There were protests every day. So I was attracted to revivals where the preachers preached what we called hellfire and damnation. They were angry too. They were angry and they weren't about to take anything anymore and they were going to take their stand. And I really got into that. And when God moved me out of the Navy, I tried to get into one of those schools. And God closed the door. And he closed the door and he put me in a school where I could actually learn. Where I learned that God was one that was to bring the peace, not the anger. That I learned that the battle was his, not mine. I learned that the best way to build his kingdom is to love people into it, not to demand them to go out. I liked what Jesus said to the woman who was taken in adultery. He said, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone." And the Bible says they turned and walked away. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the glory of God was? Jesus Christ. Try measuring yourself up to him and you'll find out that you'll hang your head in shame. So the Lord gave me a message that I have had for 40 years now, and it wasn't a message of hate and damnation, but it's a message that's actually built this church. It's a message that was on that video we just showed. Sometimes there's more important things than what you are doing to be done. Whenever we do what's right, we've got to stop many times what we are doing for ourselves. Bible says this in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." I remember when I was in the Navy, a preacher preached one time and he said, the churches are so lovesick, they don't know how to pronounce judgment. We don't pronounce judgment. God's a judge. And if the churches would get more lovesick, we would win more people to Jesus Christ. Love one another. And loving is showing action to the world so the world can notice that we're different than the world. We don't react the same. We get slapped on the cheek, we turn our cheek. They ask for our coat, we give them our shirt. We realize that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We realize that we're not our own. Loving one another was not just a passing comment in the New Testament. It was the royal law of God. James 2:8 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5 says, the fruits of the Spirit are love. It's the first one. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The phrase love one another shows up 14 times in the New Testament. How do I truly know that I'm being a loving Christian? One another shows up 58 times in the New Testament. Here's some of the places it shows up. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Bear one another's burdens. Be devoted to one another are just a few examples. It's the one another's in the Bible that pull us together as a family of God. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do we do that? The next verse says, carry your own burden. Carry one another's burden and carry your own burden. That means that we should see ourselves as Christians as doing it ourselves, but also see ourselves as Christian as helping someone else. We're not supposed to be a Christian that sits back and says, why didn't anybody ever help me? That's why those two verses are together. We as Christians know that our help is not really coming from you, it's coming from Him. So we submit unto Him, and when we submit unto Him, He brings those things together. I am thankful that we have pastoring, and I am part of a giving, loving church. Heather, where are you? Heather here? Heather's not here. Somebody go get her. We have a fellow, her granddad, Bob Janun. Some of you know him, some of you remember him. Bob was a tough old guy. I had another man in the church that had a business, and he lost his business, and he was about 60 years old. He called me over to his house, and he said, Pastor, will you pray with me before you leave? And I said, yeah. And he said, I always pray right over here. And we went over to his coffee table, and we knelt down, and there we prayed together. He said, you know, we have a great church. I said, I know we do. He said, I want to tell you something about Bob Janun. He's put a $50 bill in my pocket every Sunday ever since I lost my business. Now that's back 30 years ago. And he said, my wife and I wouldn't have ate if it wouldn't have been for Bob Janun many a weeks. Bob never told me that. I never told that why he was alive. But that's the kind of people we have in a church. A couple years ago, and some of you remember this because some of you received it, someone gave me several $100 bills around Christmas, close to 3,000, something like that. And they said, we know there are people that are hurting in the church around Christmas. Would you distribute this? And I remember sitting in the office going through the directory, and I found like 23 people that I knew needed an extra $100. And I looked back over the list and I saw three or four that needed an extra $200 or $300. And we put them in the mailboxes. So if you don't have a mailbox, you ought to see Mary. We put them in the mailboxes. And it was special. And people came to me, pastor said, who? And I said, they didn't want us to say who. But it's about giving. There's a lady in the church came to me and said, whenever I play the piano, somebody has an envelope with my name on it sitting on the piano, and it has a $50 bill in it. She said, Pastor, you won't know how that helps. Do you know who's doing it? And I said, they don't want me to say. Let me tell you what happened. That lady got really upset at somebody one day and tried to almost destroy them. What she didn't know is I knew that was a person who was giving her the $50. You better watch what you say to your neighbor or about your neighbor. They may be the one that's really sticking their neck out for you. Ron Lett used to sit right up here, passed away this last year, 80-some years old. I said, Ron, you've been in this church since you were a little boy. I said, and you moved all the way up to the lake, and now you drive all the way back here from Adrian, Michigan. Why do you do that? He said, preacher, when I was a little boy, he said, we didn't have nothing. He said, I was laying in bed, and he said, I could see the stars right through the ceiling. He said, it rained. He said, I could feel wet dripping on my bed. He said, this church came over and put a roof on our house. He said, you can't offend me out of Heritage. See, when you love someone and you love something, it causes action. Sometimes it's just making food. Sometimes it's just buying a meal. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that we can show love in other ways by encouraging one another and building up one another. That's telling your Sunday school teacher they had a good lesson rather than trying to argue with them and put them down. That's being thankful for the person that runs your Bible study. That's being thankful for the person that goes to extra work in order to do something, if it's just painting something. But it's showing appreciation for it and encouragement. Sharon Day sends out cards to people that are sick. And if she knows you're sick and she can find your address, you're going to get a card. I get a card when I'm sick. And I'm the pastor. From Sharon, the church is praying for you. I kind of knew that. But I really appreciated the card. Sometimes it's sending a letter or an email or just a text message that says, I appreciate you and I appreciate what you did. Matter of fact, we need to make sure that we're spending more time encouraging people than we are putting them down. Thomas Kempis said this, whosoever loves much does much. Romans 12 says this, where we're told, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's all about them, not about you. Now, why did God put such an emphasis on love? Why did he stress the idea that we should love one another? Because he knew that in churches you can be uncomfortable. I heard an old preacher one time preaching, he said, churches are sometimes like a bunch of porcupines getting together to get warm. He said, they may get warm, but they really do hurt one another once in a while. Well, that's true. This was wrote to the church of Galatia, and they weren't a perfect church. But the Bible says in Galatians 5, 14, 15, that the entire law is summed up in the single command that you love your neighbor as yourself. And he also said, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It tells us that in Galatia, those people were not loving one another, but they were biting and devouring each other. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, why would Christians do this? Because of hatred, jealousy, rage. I found in 31 years here that most of the time people just get upset because they're jealous of somebody else. Somebody else got a little praise and they didn't get a little praise. And you say, preacher, are people that childish? Yeah, people are that childish. And I'm not telling you this because you're bad. I'm telling you this because you're good and we need to be better. Romans 3:23. If you're going to love one another, we need to realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. The person you and I criticize is a servant of God, and only God has a right to pass on judgment upon them. Can a sick person mock someone that is sick? Can a blind judge the deaf? In some way, can a sinner condemn the sinner? Absolutely not. Remember this, Peter, who denied Christ, was the guy that preached Christ on Pentecost. Remember Samson, who was in sin one day, and the next day he pulled the pillars of the house down to kill the enemy for the sake of God? The person that you're criticizing today may be God's champion tomorrow. Only God is in a position to look down on anyone. But we need to understand that God demands that we love one another. You got to love me, Matt.
It's hard to do.
I know. You got to. So you need to look at one another and find out that part that you can love and then help it to expand. You know where the love chapter's at? There's a love chapter in the Bible. It's in the book of Corinthians. Probably one of the worst churches ever talked about in the Bible. But he told them how to love one another. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always preserves. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Proverbs 10:12 says it this way: hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrong. The whole object of Christianity is like that little video that I showed you, to pick up the fallen brother or sister in Christ. To love them enough that we will stop what we're doing to make sure that they can make it. Bible says in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Don't go out to someone else. Go to them and say, you know what? I love you. And I don't want to ever have any problem with you. And I want to tell you why I did this or why I did that. And work it out. When I die, I want people to say, Pastor Fry loved me when I did not like him much. I want him to say that he showed me his love to me when I talked bad about him. He welcomed me when I tried to turn others against him. But I've learned this after 40 years of ministry. They can only say it if you do it. So in order to love one another, as Jesus tells us, we need to realize we have all fell down, we all fail, we all sinned. We need to realize that love means we must try to pick up our fallen brothers and sisters. We need to trust God and say, I'm going to love one another and not judge them in my self-righteousness. I wrote down a list of names that I didn't bring with me. But his name, like Mr. Bates, who never went to church and wouldn't let a preacher on his property, that I led to the Lord because he knew that I cared about him. There's a guy like Mr. Holt that wouldn't come to church with his wife, wouldn't have anything to do with the church, and wouldn't talk to a preacher. He'd get up and walk out of the room, that I knelt down beside a stool in the living room with him and led him to the Lord. And his son became a pastor, and his granddaughter's husband, two of his granddaughter's husbands are now pastors. I remember sitting and talking to Bob Janun, said, you come to church, you give to the church. When are you going to give your life to Jesus Christ? And that night he did, and the next morning in church service he was baptized. And many of you sitting here, the same way. If we're going to win people to Christ, they got to know that we love them first. And they'll never know that if you point your finger and continually condemn them and condemn them and condemn them and condemn them. Royce Ambury. See Ruth sitting back there. She said, my husband has cancer. And I said, well, I'll pray the Lord to heal him. She said, you better pray he gets saved. So I said at a staff meeting one morning, I'm going to go see Royce sometime. Somebody want to go with me? And I think Pastor Kay said he would. But I was coming out of Toledo Hospital. And the Lord told me, go see Royce. I mean, just, he was on my mind. He was on my heart. I was thinking about him. I knew I had to go. I went to his house. I sat down, told him plan of salvation. Royce accepted the Lord as his Savior. And by the way, he lived for several years after that, came to church on a regular basis. And I thought, man, that was easy. And he said to Ruth, show him the letter. The letter? The letter he just got, I think, the day before from a friend that he's in the Army with. See, he's a retired Army guy, or military, Air Force, I think. He said, Royce, I got saved. You need to get saved. See, God speaks to them before we speak to them. But a church that is built on hate, and a church that is built on judgment, and a church that is built on judging everything in that world out there, cannot be built on love, because you can't love and hate at the same time. I found this. You say, but preacher, you can love the sinner and hate the sin. Maybe you can. That's hard for me. So I decided that God can hate the sin and God can deliver him from the sin. I'm going to love the sinner. I am just going to show them the love of God, not the judgment of God, and allow God to deal with it. And we have brought family after family to Jesus Christ over the last 30 years here. We've seen people be saved over the last 30 years here because we decided to love one another. Hamlet said, draw your breath in pain as you tell your story. And what's your story? It should be, I loved. Truly, I love because Jesus first loved me. But you cannot truly show that kind of love until you've laid your life down for Jesus Christ and took up his love. And that while we were yet sinners, listen to that. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. While you were yet a sinner. As he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think the Father forgave them because they didn't know what they were doing? I think he did. Because that was God hanging there. You say, but that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Well, let me tell you a little secret. You are. Because what spirit comes into you that changes you, that makes you like him so that people can see him, is the Spirit of God that comes into you. So yes, you can act and be and walk like Jesus. You can love like Jesus. Because it isn't you. You buried that when you said, I'm baptized with him. I buried the flesh. I am going to love one another. There's never anything worse than a church fight. A union company fight, don't even compare. A political wrangling doesn't even compare. And I can thank the Lord for 30-some years we've decided we're not going to have church fights. I learned this. You have two choices when you pastor. You can pastor a church that you draw people together and you don't have anything going on because you don't want them getting too close, because you know when they get too close, they're going to rub each other the wrong way. Or you can decide that you're going to draw them together and draw them as close as you can and allow the Holy Spirit to work out the friction. This church is one of the best churches that I've ever seen in the entire country. I've talked to preachers all over the country, and when I hear them talking about their churches, I think, Lord, not only do we not have that, we've not had that in 31 years. You know why we don't? Because every 8 weeks or so, I preach a sermon like this. Because if you read the Bible, about 1/8 of the time, it talks about you better be loving the brother and you better be loving one another. You better be helping one another. You need to give up your selfishness and your righteousness and your self-righteousness and think about the consequences of not loving someone. Ricky, I remember when you moved him from St. Louis. Is that where he was? St. Louis. And then he started coming to church. And I'll tell you something, he wouldn't have came to church if he didn't want to come to church. He always did pretty much what he wanted, didn't he? And he wanted to come to church. And now there he is. We don't know how long he has to go in this world before he inherits his kingdom. But he would like to get up one more time to come to church. Because when he sat out there and coughed in the lobby, someone loved him. Someone let him know they were glad that he was here. Someone cared. Well, I want to tell you something. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've said about me, I love you. Because this has never been about me. It's about him. And I can tell you something about this church. You can get mad at it. You can turn your back on it. You can walk away from it. And you can be gone for 15 years and call on it, and it will be there in full force. Why? Because we want to do it the Bible way. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we love one another. Help us to show it more. Help us to show it more by listening and watching. And Lord, when we see people, let's look for the things that we can love in them. Not the things that we might disagree about, but things that we might agree on. And help us to work towards that end. Help us be very forgiving as you are forgiving. You said, when you taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Lord, I pray that this church is known for anything. It's known as a church of a second chance, a third chance, a church that loves one another. And Lord, sometimes people just need time to grow, as Peter did. Sometimes they just need time to grow, as Samson did. Lord, help us to love them, even though they're stumbling. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.